And now we're really going to start. So, Parshas Pinchas, here we are. Very famous topic we want to discuss at the beginning of the Parsha. Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Pinchas after his big mitzvah that he did when he killed Zimri, sinners. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says to him, I'm going to share with you this bris of kohuna. So you need some understanding. Now Pinchas came from a family of kohanim. His father was a kohen, his grandfather was a kohen. So what's the Kodesh Baruch Hu giving him? Great reward over here. You're going to be bris kohuna, soilam, the bris of kohuna when he was a kohen, surely. It's very well known that Rashi says over there, based on Chazal, that in fact, although he came from a family of Kohenim, his grandfather was Aaron HaKohen, his father was Elazar HaKohen, but, says Rashi, Pinchas wasn't a Kohen. How did that come about? Because Rashi says that those Kohenim who originally became Kohenim right from the beginning, so the beginning of the becoming Kohenim, of course, who put them through this procedure of Meshicha, being wished with them with Shemen HaMishcha, and all those people who were anointed with Shemen HaMishcha became Kohenim, and children who they bore after that inherited the Kohuna from them. But people who were already around at that time, even from those families who were not anointed, they did not become Kohenim. So Pinchas was already alive at the time of the original appointment of the Kohenim. He was not chosen to be anointed. So he wasn't a Kohen. So he only became a Kohen now. That's how Rashi explains the pasuk. And Rashi quotes the Gemara, Lo yis kahin Pinchas ad shahor ve Zimri. Pinchas didn't become kohen until after he killed Zimri. Now that's a well known point. What's less well known is that although that's what Rashi brings, this is a machlokes in Chazal. This is what one bear holds. One bear holds that Pinchas only became a kohen again. But we can see in the Gemara that there are other bears who clearly don't agree to this. Actually, the discussion in the Gemara actually goes around this event, as you probably remember from Parshas Shmini, where there's this whole discussion about a korban on the day of the Geluim, when Nadab and Abihu passed away. Whole discussion about a particular korban, which for some reason or other was not korban that was meant to be eaten by the Kohenim. For some reason, it wasn't, and it's not so clear from the Pesukim and even in Chazal. It's a whole discussion why that korban wasn't eaten. And the Gemara brings two things. Now either the korban became tummy, is one explanation. Somewhere along the line that korban became tummy. The other explanation is mipnei anius, because the kohanim who were available to eat the kochim were oinim. They had a close relative who just passed away. They were an oinim because not one of you had passed away. So the other kohanim who are Aaron, Elazar and Isamar, they are either brother or father of Nadab and Abihu. So they were oinim. So that's why the korban wasn't there. That's one of the opinions in the Gemara.
Moshe accepted that from Aaron.
We're discussing what the reason was. That's one of the reasons. And Moshe eventually accepted it. Yeah, you know, first he criticized it, he accepted it. But then comes along Reb Shimon in the Gemara, and Reb Shimon says it can't be because of animus. I don't agree with that reason. I accept the other reason, it was because of Tumah, not because of Anius. Why can't it be because of Anius? Says Rav Shimon. You know why it can't be because of Anius? Because very well, there was an Aaron who was an Oinim. There was someone who was Oinim. But there was somebody else, says Rav Shimon. There was about Pinchas. Pinchas could have eaten it. So if your problem is because they were Oinim, then very well, still why wasn't he eaten? It doesn't explain very well. And also, Isamar was in him. Aaron was not in him. Pinchas, who was just a nephew of the people who passed away of Nadab and Abihu, he's not an oinim. He could have eaten the korban. El Alai says Rav Shimon, I go with the other approach. It was because of Tumah. Now, the inyan eru for our purposes, what do we see from this Rav Shimon? We see quite clearly that Rav Shimon disagrees with the view quoted by Rashi in this week's parsha, and Rav Shimon holds that he was a kohen right at the beginning. As he doesn't hold that only the people who were anointed became kohen, he holds the entire family became kohen. Pinchas was a kohen already when this episode took place right at the beginning of the 40 years, in the second year in the middle. Pinchas was already kohen.
Don't he want this explanation of
God? Exactly, he owes us explanation. Exactly what I'm going to come to now. So he owes us explanation. What is Pshat from the Pasuk then? And in fact, what's also surprising is that although the Gemara over there discusses various psukim and supports to the various study, the Gemara does not discuss this pasuk. It left that for the Mepharshim to tell. So let's look at a couple of approaches. Let's look first at the approach of the Maharsha. The Maharsha asks this kasha, and he says, why doesn't the Gemara ask him this pasuk? If he was already praying right at the beginning, what's the great son? Thank you very much. The host alone is Ari Afra, Brisco, that's all. So says the Maharsha, that according to Rav Shimon, we're going to say, V'yesh lo'ma she'ev ticha HaKadosh Baruch Hu ala kohuna gedoyla. The promise over here is a promise not regarding actual kohuna, but regarding kohuna gedoyla, i.e. that the kohen and gedoyla will be descendants of, particularly the mishpacha of Pinchas, none of the other priestly mishpachas. And he said, in fact, you'll find that when you look through the story in the lobby,
one came from mishpacha Pinchas, or from another too.
No, from Hispanic Tufus, after a certain stage. There will be a coming time, but from then on, all the family is over from Tufus' family.
Because other people die, or what's happened? Because there's
coming off doesn't last forever, will you?
No, I can't understand what you said. Right now, Tufus joined other families where coin the world can come from him,
or
Pinchas replaced everybody.
Pinchas replaced everybody.
Okay, so that was like, no.
Only to come from Pinchas' mishpacha.
Pinchas will replace everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And in fact, the Maharsha says, if you'll look through the map, or you'll see who the Kohen Gadol were, from at a certain stage, the Kohen Gadol went to the family called Sodik, the family of the Kohen of Sodik, and from then on it always comes from his descendants, and Sodik is from the family of
Pinchas. And you know what time? Time,
yeah, you can look at that and you can see.
Because
yeah.
When he refused to destroy Reuben, when the Reuben sat outside of Eretz Israel,
yeah.
And the tribes understood that he built.
Right, yeah.
They sent army,
yeah.
To destroy him,
yeah.
And Pinchas,
yeah.
Said, before you fight, I need to talk to
you. Oh, yeah.
So right now he
so there you go.
Not only fighting but also Shalom Bayit.
Oh, very interesting.
And from this time, he's on last class.
Okay, great. Thank you for sharing that. That's very interesting. So you see also like you have both middle.
Right.
Like the middle of this and also the middle of Shalom. Very nice.
It was this because yeah. Too much jealous on there.
I see, very interesting. Shreya. So that's one approach, said the Maharsha, the promise is the promise of Kohuna Gedolah. That's one approach. Now I'd like to look at the second approach, which brings up a sort of halachic point. There's a pirush of one of the Bali Tosfos ala Torah, called the Pirush of the Rivon. Comes on the Pirush of the Rivon, and he says, Levi shekapov megoel badol. Pinchas had just killed somebody. His palms, his hands, were dirty, were sullied with blood. The Kohen Shahar against an Epesh, and the rule is that a Kohen who has killed somebody, Lo Yisrael is Kapot, cannot do Mirkas Kohen, cannot do it. Vahayom Yisyare, Shemon Yashkin, Kuhnos. The chat is not that he became a Kohen, he was a Kohen, but the concern was that maybe he'll lose his Kohen. That's what it means that Kohen Shahar gave his full grace, his complete grace, he reassured him. Then in fact, this action will not cause him to lose his kohuna. So that's the bris kohuna.
Yes,
not because he came tommy. That's not the nekuda here. The point is that a kohen who chora against a nefesh, a kohen who has killed somebody, cannot do birkas kohen and possibly other avodah. We'll look at that soon. Not because he's tommy. Even let's say he could kill somebody without becoming tommy. He shoots a gun from a distance.
Yes, it's truth from the gospel. Everything, there's all the pieces of kohen. He can see truth and everything else. There's certain things he can't do, that's all. So what is he saying here? He says that what he loses kahuna. What's it mean? That means just these aspects. Not his kahuna.
So maybe that's the stress of the word. It's briso shalim. His complete bris. Yeah, in other words, the complete, all the angles of kohuna, actually, the nivamaskil of this comment is on the words of the pasuk, a little bit after the word bris kohuna, sorry, where it finishes up and says, Hinini noisim lo, es brisi shalom, which is like a play on the word shalom. So he used to say that there, it's merubah, it's a complete kohuna, so all the angles of kohuna.
But if it's a prayer, it's a prayer in a message, it reminds a prayer. his children are burning, it's his person. He can't do
that. Right, but he loses his person. Yeah. You know, he's a cutting. The cutting is, you're right. He can probably still eat trauma, he can eat coaching. Probably can't get married to the people who cut him, can't get married to, right? He's still a cutting. But he loses certain angles, privileges, whatever you want to call it, things that are cutting down. So that's what we said now. The stress of the Russian here is Brisei Shalom. Complete Brisei. There's all the angles of Kahuna he still has.
And for how long he could not do it like
he's in principle, forever. We're going to look a little bit over that a lot just now, but that's sort of the next stage. So basically, this is based on the Gemara, where the Gemara says, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, a kohen shaharaget hanefesh lo yisra es kapot. Kohen who has killed somebody, lo yisra es kapot, kind of raised his hands in the Brit. Kohen, sheneh ba yedeichem domim v'leim. When the Apostle says, and the Navi, the Prophet criticizes, and he says, I won't hear your prayers and your entreaties because your Yedeichem Domim V'Leim. Your hands are full of blood. So hands are full of blood is not suitable for Birkas Kohen. Now let's look over a little bit the halacha, how this is brought in Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch tells us, a Kohen Shaharaget HaNefesh, Afilu B'Shoideh, Lo Yisrael Es Kapo. So somebody who killed, even B'Shoideh, without intent, Lo Yisrael Es Kapo. He cannot do Birkas Kohen, that's A. And B, Afilu Oso Tshuva, a big chiddush over here, which is sort of not usual in these types of topics. Even if he's done Tshuva, he still cannot do Birkas Kohen. That is the opinion of Shulchan Aruch. Now wait a second, comes along the Ramah, and the Ramah disagrees. The Yishayman, the Imas of Tshuva, is he agrees that even a Shoygei can't do Birkas Kohen, but if he's done Tshuva, Lo Yisrael Es Kapo, then he can.
I have one question.
Yeah.
Remind me how you qualify when you're chasing after the person who tried to kill the Jew.
You
have a relationship to Jesus. Yeah. How you call
this? Roy.
Right now. You have
Cohen. Yeah.
And right now he's
here.
Right. What
is supposed to be? So, we're going to carry on in one second, then we're going to read. Let's read one more case in Shulchan Aruch. Doesn't talk about your case, but we'll add to it. Let's see one more case. So the Ramah disagrees, and he said if he did tshuva, he can do Birkas Kohen.
What's tshuva?
So the stages of tshuva.
Why is this tshuva?
Well, we have to be matching more carefully. We've mentioned here shoyig. Now, what really does it mean shoyig? Shoyig. Let's define more carefully. Shoyig is not oinus. Shoyig is not something who was complete and utter mistake, and there's nothing he could have done. If we'll learn the sugyas in Makkos, which discuss the punishment of a Ritzah for Shoyge, so we'll see that Shoyge is something where it was unintentional, he didn't mean to kill, but he could have been a little bit more careful. As he was a little bit careless. As let's say, he put a ladder in a place where he could fall, or things like that. That's exactly why I could have spoken to him. That Tucker, he didn't lose his kohen. It wasn't like an exception to the rule, but that is the confirmation of the rule. In fact, I really think in truth it's a little bit there, this pshat. Not such a gewaldige pshat, this pshat which we're saying that he promised that he's not going to lose his kohen. I mean, surely if somebody does a mitzvah, but he is there a hamamina, that he's going to lose his. So I want to come to the final case in Shulchan Aruch, because the next case in Shulchan Aruch, that's really what you're saying as well. Right,
you need to make a choice.
Right, there's one more case in Shulchan Aruch, but multimer. Let's say somebody does a mila, umes, and something happens, the child catches infection, whatever it might be, umes, and the child dies as a result of this mila. Then Moshe is cut off. Then indeed he can be Moshe. Some of the reason which we're explaining is because he haven't machine mitzvah. This person would try to do a mitzvah, not try to do anything bad, try to do a mitzvah, this is what happened. Well, later. Right, so therefore it's poshut. In fact, it's much more poshut. It's a culture gain in the case of Pinchas, right? Because by mila, the mitzvah is to do mila. And as a side thing, unfortunately, the child passes away, right? But in Pinchas' case, the mitzvah is to kill, but that's the mitzvah. So it's not a poshut. Then over there, there's no restriction on his kohuna. And I think likewise, in the case of Mr. Norman brought up, I think it's kohuna, but it's the same. There's a mitzvah on the person to do this. Can't be any harm in it. If there's a mitzvah to kill, like a roiti, then if that's what's required, it's a double poshut b'chayav. So in this case, it's poshut, but he doesn't lose his rights to break his kohuna. To the extent that, in fact, you know, I think it's in fact a bit difficult to understand this whole chat in the Apostle. What's the difference when he doesn't lose his Kohen? Would there have been a Hanam in it?
Right now you can define one.
Yeah. Yeah, go on.
What's the abbreviation?
So yeah, that would be the approach, you're right. If we can find some reason why
it is the key of our whole discussion.
Yes.
What abbreviation? Because if there's reason it was not abbreviation, then we need to discuss all and then all together.
Yeah.
Or if it was abbreviation, then there's no Kiddush.
Yeah, there's no Kiddush in this whole chat.
Then Moshe confirmed that indeed there was an obligation. He was correct. There was an obligation. He said that's right.
He said it's the right thing to do.
Right.
I'm just wondering.
Moshe, at the beginning, Moshe didn't go to the source of it. But then, once he killed him, then Moshe said, oh yeah, you did absolutely right.
No, but
I know it's quite good. So I'm just wondering exactly that. As we speak, is it Shabbat, Mamasha, an obligation? It could be there's such a thing.
It could, fine. But if you would not do it, you didn't violate any obligation.
I think they said that if you were
an
off,
they would say no.
It's
a special halacha, but you have to be.
If you ask all of your religion to kill God,
right? So you have to be absolutely filled just with this spirit. That maybe that's that good thing explains it. Since maybe it's not an obligation in the normal sense of the word, maybe that also explains this. It's not really exactly like the other cases we've discussed. If it's a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah, for sure. But if it's not a mitzvah, it's sort of like this type of thing, I'm not even putting it, then maybe there could have been a halakha there.
Then they understand the Torah.
We understand what it's saying. Yeah, it's a good for the end point.
We don't have any choice.
Yeah.
That from Torah, we know that it was not a mitzvah. Right. Because a mitzvah,
it would have been
possible. We don't need anything.
Right.
Also, okay?
Okay, let's move on a little bit. We'll just discuss a couple more of the halachas of things that go around this discussion of the claim. Yeah.
If it's not in the category of a mitzvah, what is it? What kind of act is this? Is this a mitzvah? Or no mitzvah? What are you doing that all for? Who are you doing anything for unless it's a mitzvah?
Well, we can have mitzvah in the sense of something that's a right thing to do. And we can have mitzvah in the sense of obligation.
Mitzvah
is like quite a general term, yeah. It doesn't always mean absolute obligation. Sometimes it means, technically really that's what it means. But sometimes we use it in the sense of something that it's a correct thing to do, but maybe it's not.
Yeah.
I don't think, I haven't looked over this topic. Now, I maybe need more perfect definitions. Yeah, go on.
When you need to get up, when your father's walking, it's that means. Why? Because this kabod, but then you put a lot of things which might be killed the kabod, maybe not, in the just right things to do. You would not say you're not kabod your father.
I think the might say you are supposed to.
Yeah. But
you're
supposed to do.
Not sure if it's a good example of that. Yeah. That's what you're getting at. I'm not sure that's the right example. Yeah. Okay. Maybe it needs more sharper definition. So let's just look over a couple of the other. So as we said before, coming back to the Kohen who can't do Brichas Kohanim, if we have a situation of oinus, absolute oinus, even let's say the classic case of somebody forces somebody else, like we have the guy who says to the Jew, well, you have to kill so-and-so, otherwise I'll kill you. Now we know the right thing to do according to the law over there, actually a person has to give up his life. That's one of the Sholish Hamuris, so he's not allowed to go and kill the other person. Nevertheless, as far as this halacha is concerned, even if he didn't do correctly, he went and killed the other person under duress. So really the right thing to do would have been for that person to give up his life, not to kill the other Jew. But he didn't. He did wrongly and he went ahead and killed the other Jew. Nevertheless, since it was oinus, he doesn't lose his rights to do Brichas Kohanim. He only loses the rights to Brichas Kohanim in Shoyding or certainly Mazing, not in situations of oinus. Even if he violated the halacha.
Rambam says if you wear a kalachas and you're killed under gun,
yeah.
you will not be
touched. Yeah, yeah, right, correct.
You better die then, it's not punishable.
Right, it's not punishable by death. Yeah. Yeah, correct. It's a very good, connection of these two points. I come also to this point of the tshuva. So, We have this machloket between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah about the Kohen who killed the Nefesh, let's say, B'Shoyim in Gomer Eden, that he's now done Shulchan. So the Shulchan Aruch says that he still can't do Berkas Kohen. And the reason is that the Mishnah Berurah, although we know how far reaching Shulchan is and so on and so forth, but the point over here is not because he's a Baal Aveira, that's not the reason he can't do Berkas Kohen. The reason is because of the concept called Ein Katego Nasas Kalega, something which is a sort of prosecuting, cannot be a defense, cannot be used to bless Am Yisrael. So these hands, which bottom line is they killed, they cannot be a defense of Am Yisrael, even with Shuvah.
And if you have his hand,
yeah.
Nobody can make Shuvah better than Dovid HaMelech.
Right, okay.
And nevertheless, he could not build that exactly. Because very the hand wasn't glass.
Very good. Moments the same
joke. He didn't know that. Who can do better shoes than
very good. What have you? Yeah. It's some blood there at the top. Yeah, very good. As we saw, the Rabbah does say that they can do. And coming to this, actually, we just finished off with this interesting case, which the Rabbah Yosef discusses in his Chubas, somebody was involved in a car accident. Le'aleinu, somebody drove, and he was involved in a car accident, and he killed somebody. So Rav Avadia actually distinguishes between two scenarios, and he said if the person was a little bit careless, then it goes into the discussion over here. If he was a little bit careless, and according to the Shulchan Aruch, even if he's done tshuva, he can't do Berkas Kohanim. According to the Ramah, he's done tshuva, he can. But if he was absolutely careful, there can later also be situations where a person was completely careful, and you know, he was coming around the corner and somebody ran out to the road or something, and he was driving at a sensible speed. It just wasn't possible. Wasn't possible to stop, since it could happen. If such a thing happens, that's complete pointless, and then there's no restriction on him doing Berkas Kohanim at all. Okay, we'll stop here for today.